You're listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station.
Breakout Radio Church, now having church services daily at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Central Time. Now here is Pastor Deo Gentry.
Hey, good Easter Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome to Breakout Radio Church. Good to have you joining us today here at Breakout Radio Church. Almost 3 years now we have been leading church services across America and around the world. And, of course, we are a global missions church without walls, comprised of members in many different geographical locations across America and around the globe, responding to Jesus' command to go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation, which we're doing. We're a house of prayer for all nations. Welcome to Breakout Radio Church on this Easter Sunday morning, and we have a special announcement, and the announcement is Jesus is alive. He has risen. So it's a delight to have you joining us here on this Easter Sunday. I want to welcome all of you members and anyone that may be visiting Breakout Radio Church this morning. Welcome. You might share with your friends that we are broadcasting a live Easter Sunday morning service here from our ministry center in Austin, Texas. And Gene is coming to help me welcome you, and so we want to say happy Easter Sunday morning, don't we, Jean?
Yes, we do. It's a special day, and welcome, Breakout family, and all of you that are joining us today. It's going to be a wonderful day today.
Yeah, it is, Jean, and people are joining us from their homes, from their jobs, driving down the road, maybe getting on an airplane, maybe in their hotel room. I don't know where they're at, maybe walking down the street, maybe near the beach. Wherever you are, it's amazing how people can join us on their computer, on their iPad, on their phone, their smartphone, wherever you may be. We just want to welcome you to Breakout Radio Church on this Resurrection Sunday morning. And Jesus is alive, and because he lives, we can live also. This is a wonderful day. And Gene, what an honor it is to be able to lead a church, a radio church.
It is. It's a different kind of church, but it's a great church, and we're so thankful for all of you.
Yeah, we are. And I know there are millions of people across America and around the world that don't have a church or a pastor. And so we're grateful for those of you that are members of Breakout Radio Church. We want to be a blessing. We desire to be a blessing.
Yes, we do.
And we want to use our 52 years of full-time ministerial experience to be a blessing to those that may be a part. And so it's good to be here today. We're going to pray. I want you to join us in prayer. Father, Gene and I set ourselves in agreement here on this Easter Sunday morning,
yes,
at Breakout Radio Church, that you would just anoint this service. Hallelujah. May your Holy Spirit come and touch each of our lives. We're so thankful for our members today.
Yes.
And we just want to speak a blessing upon them. In fact, we hold your names in our hands. I have called every one of your names in prayer. If you're a member of Breakout Radio Church, I've called every one of your names in prayer, as I do each Sunday morning. And I just bless you and ask God to bless you. And we ask God to bless and anoint this service by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, no Easter Sunday would be complete without Don Francisco singing "He's Alive." So we're celebrating celebrating today the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And because he lives, we live also. So we're going to have some praise, and Don Francisco is going to lead us, and "He's Alive," and then my friend Martin Smith is going to lead us in some worship, and then I'm going to preach the message that God has placed on my heart this week, and I've been preparing for since well, the last 2 or 3 days been preparing to preach today. And so let's join Don Francisco and Martin Smith, and then I'm going to preach the word. Welcome to Easter Sunday here at Breakout Radio Church.
Fastened down, I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night. None of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what, I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him. Then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. 'Cause when at last it came to choices, I'd denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before him with his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees and just clung to him. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted in. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive.
Lead me to the cross where we first met. Draw me to my knees so we can talk. Let me feel your breath. Let me know you're here with me.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know that you're with us. We thank you today for the cross. The cross. Thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to die. Father God, thank you for giving your only begotten Son that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, I thank you for this Easter weekend, recognizing the death of Jesus and the burial of Jesus on Friday. But very thankful and grateful because on Sunday, Jesus arose from the dead. I'm thankful for Peter's account there. Don Francisco sang Peter's account if he's alive. He's alive today. And because he lives, we live also. I know we put a lot of stock in this temporary life, but it's only like a vapor that appears for a little while and then passes away compared to eternal life. I want to ask you today, you that are attending Breakout Radio Church, listening to this broadcast today, about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to die today, if your heart would stop beating today, where would you spend eternity? Eternity is a long, long time. In fact, eternity is forever. Can you imagine something with no end? Can you imagine? This life is only very temporary. And we put a lot of stock in this life. But it's only temporary compared to eternity. So I'm asking you here on this Easter Sunday morning, where are you going to spend eternity? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? You make the choice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus came and paid for your sins. He forgave you. Regardless of what you've done in your life, it makes no difference. You can be forgiven. And I want to give you that opportunity to accept the Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord. The Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Would you say this prayer after me out loud? Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and you arose on the third day. I ask you to come into my heart, cleanse me from my sins, forgive me, and I accept your forgiveness. My name is being written at this moment in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I have a hope that makes not ashamed that one day I'll live for you, live with you forever and ever. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I'm thankful to be your child. With your strength and help, I'm going to live for you and serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the cross. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Church, can you praise him with me? Can you worship him with me today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we are so thankful. We are so thankful and so grateful, Lord. We worship you and honor you this morning here at Breakout Radio Church. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for those that are being saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We encourage you to find you a Bible preaching local church, or you can be a member of Breakout Radio Church. All you have to do is go to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com, and click on Breakout Radio Church, and there is the form for you to fill out your membership form and just submit it, and you can be a part of a worldwide church, Breakout Radio Church. Thank you, Lord. We're grateful and thankful. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, it's a joy to have you at Breakout Radio Church today. So grateful and so thankful. And my heart is just filled with gratitude today. I'm thankful for the tomb. I'm thankful for the cross. And I've been to Israel. And one of the times that I went, I got to preach at the tomb. I've been to Golgotha, to the cross, and I'm thankful for both. But I'm here today to tell you that without Gethsemane, there would have been no cross, and there would have been no resurrection, or there would have been no tomb. And so today we are celebrating the resurrection. I'm so thankful that Jesus is alive, and because he lives, I live also. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And so it was all it, but I'm thankful for the cross. I'm thankful for the tomb, but all of this was decided in Gethsemane. Jesus in the garden making that decision whether he was going to live or die. Remember, he was only 33 years old. I want to read an account from the book of Luke. Listen to this account. Here's what it says. And he came out and went, as was his habit, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he arrived at the place called Gethsemane, he said to them, pray continually that you may not fall into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, If you're willing, remove this cup of divine wrath from me, yet not my will, but always yours be done. Now an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, deeply distressed and anguished, almost to the point of death, he prayed more intently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow, and said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray, that you may not fall into temptation." Another translation says, "Then accompanied by the disciples, he left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, 'Pray God that you will not be overcome of temptation.' He walked away, perhaps a stone's throw, and knelt down and prayed this prayer, 'Father, if you're willing, please take away this cup of horror from me. But I want your will, not mine.' Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him, for he was in such agony of spirit that he broke into a sweat of blood, with great drops falling to the ground as he prayed more and more earnestly. At last he stood up again, returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep, exhausted from grief." You know, the disciples were grieved that Jesus was going to leave, that their vision of an earthly kingdom where they would continue to make their case, who would sit on his right hand and who would sit on his left hand, continued, knowing that he was about to leave them, and that their home, their hope for an earthly kingdom would die as well, as they themselves would eventually die as well, for they remembered his words in Luke chapter 9. And I had a wonderful experience, a couple of experiences of traveling to the Holy Land, traveling to Israel, traveling to Jerusalem and surrounding towns and cities. And I've had the privilege of ministering there at the tomb, as I said. I've been to Mount Calvary. Both of these experiences I will never forget. But my most moving experience I've ever had in my life was the time I traveled to Jerusalem and went to the Garden of Gethsemane. I later ministered there in the Garden of Gethsemane the second time that I visited. But the first time, I went with a group, and when I got into the garden, I knew that I had to be alone. And so I went off by myself somewhere into the garden till I felt that I was to kneel at one of those olive trees. Maybe, not for sure, of course, but maybe the very one that Jesus knelt at almost 2,000 years ago. And remember, those, some of those olive trees are over 2,000 years old, very, very old. And I knelt at one of those olive trees, and I began to pray. And as I began to pray, I broke out into tears and weeping and intercession. And I was praying there. I had one of the greatest encounters with the Lord Jesus that I've ever had. And it was like I experienced the tremendous burden and the tremendous agony that he experienced there when he was trying to make a decision. And he knew that God was waiting for his answer, but he was suffering. He was struggling because he knew certain death and suffering awaited him if he made a certain decision. You know, the song says he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have said, "Father God, I just can't do this. I know the agony and the suffering and the shame and the torment that I'm facing. I just can't do it." But he was crushed and grieved under the eventual torment if he said yes. And he could have said no and walked away and established an earthly kingdom. That's what his disciples wanted him to do. Even James and John, their mother was trying to determine on which side that they could sit on in Jesus and his earthly kingdom as he set up his earthly kingdom. But Jesus made a decision right there. There would have been no cross and there would have been no tomb if there had not been a Gethsemane. And there on that day, as I knelt by that olive tree in the Garden of Gethsemane in Jerusalem, I imagined what Jesus must have felt as he finally said, "Not my will, Lord, not my will, but your will be done." It was a cross that he knew he had to bear. Before long, they put the cross on his shoulders and led him just outside of the city of Jerusalem to that place called Calvary, the place of the skull. And there they placed him on the cross. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They took large nails and drove them through his hands and through his feet. And he hung there shamefully for all the mankind to see that was gathered that day, willing to die for you, willing to die for me, willing to die for mankind, all that was going to be born, all that had been born, and all that was going to be born. He did it because he loved us. He knew that if he said no and walked away, that we would continually have to operate sacrifices of the blood of bulls and goats. But Paul later wrote, because of that one sacrifice, all the sin was paid for. And he went and delivered those that needed to be delivered, that were suffering, that had gone before his crucifixion and resurrection. And then he died for those that were alive and those that were going to live. It was an incredible experience. And so Jesus bore the cross, but he said to his disciples, he said, "If anyone wishes to follow me as my disciples," he said he must deny himself, set aside selfish interests, and take up his cross daily, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come, and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me. For whoever wishes to save his life in this world will eventually lose it through death. But whosoever loses his life in this world for my sake, he is the one who will save it. And so Jesus had been teaching the disciples about the cross. They had a very difficult time with this revelation that he was sharing before he died on the cross. But he was saying, we can only save our life by giving it. We must die in order to live. We must die to our selfish ambitions and desires. We can only do that by following him to Gethsemane, to the cross, then death, dying to our selfish ambitions, our desires, our goals, refusing to build our own kingdom. There are so many people today that they give very little thought to eternity. They're trying and attempting, and they are consumed with that passion, desire to build a kingdom, to build a major following, to see how many followers they can have on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, to see how large of a ministry they can build, how large of a building they can build, how many people that they are reaching, how much finances they can bring in. And they're consumed by building a kingdom, some building a kingdom in their own business with whatever project they have. And it's like people are consumed with what they're going to do on this earth, giving very little thought to eternity. And Jesus was saying, "I'm not here to build my own kingdom. I've only been in ministry 3.5 years, but I've been mentoring you guys. And I want you to know that the kingdom, your kingdoms, is not the kingdoms of this world, but the kingdom that you're building is the eternal kingdom. It's a godly kingdom." And what he was saying to his disciples, you must take up your cross. If you want to really serve me, you must take up your cross and follow me. And so I recently relived some of the memories of Gene and I taking up our cross and following him from one place to another. And Gene and I were discussing some of our memories this past week. And one of those wonderful memories that we have was the 6.5 years that we spent in Rush Springs, Oklahoma, a small town of 1,300 people where Gene and I pastored the First Assembly of God Church. We called it the Exciting First Assembly, the First Assembly of God Church there, loving the people and enjoying the small town atmosphere, finally being able to build and own our own home on an acre of land in a beautiful neighborhood just outside of town, in a neighborhood of new homes. I remember the first night in our brand new home, hardly able to sleep. A new home that Gene and I had designed, mostly Gene, decorated mostly Gene, with a beautiful fireplace and plenty of room for our kids to play and our dog Blackie to run around. We had the opportunity to buy an acre on both sides of our property, which that would have given us 3 acres on a beautiful home outside of town. And we had our dreams there. Our children were happy, and they would ride the school bus home every afternoon. Our dog Blackie, their dog Blackie, would go out there, and she would wait on Rick and Darla to get off the bus. And it was like, wow, this is wonderful. We're going to build and expand. And God was blessing our church, and with 1,300 people, we had record crowds of over 400. I think the last month we were there, we averaged about 325 in church. And wow, it was a wonderful thing. But only a few months later, after we'd moved into our home there, the Lord told us to take up our cross and follow Him to Del City, a suburb of Oklahoma City. And through much travail, we said yes and followed the Lord to Oklahoma City. I'll never forget Gene and I standing in the living room of our new home that we had designed, and we wept, knowing that it was time to go. It was time because we had said yes to following Jesus anywhere and everywhere He told us to go. And so our cross was following the Lord, being willing to leave a place that we loved and we cherished, and a little town where so many people knew us, where we had friends, including the lieutenant governor of the state of Oklahoma. But we knew that the Lord was calling us to Del City, a suburb of Oklahoma City, and we had to pack up our furniture because we had said yes to follow Him. And the Lord said, I'm leading you to Oklahoma City, to Del City, Oklahoma. And we moved from that new home into a 50-year-old parsonage next door to the church. You know, following Jesus means to take up our cross. Sometimes it means to selling our homes, or moving to a location, or going through some difficult times, sometimes leaving our family. We took our family. It was a grievous experience. Even our dog Blackie, who was laying in the floor of the truck, she cried all the way from Rush Springs to Oklahoma City because she knew that she was leaving her home, where she could roam around in that neighborhood, have plenty of room to roam around. And when we got there, she was confined to a little backyard. But it was a matter of following the Lord. Peter, he ended up, when they would ask him, they said, "What are you doing, Peter?" He said, "I'm just following the Lord." And we are to live this life unconditionally. There's a lot of people, they want to live life conditionally. "Lord, I'll do this if," or I'll go this far, but I won't go any further. And so we had to follow the Lord to willingly. I mean, we could have stayed. We could have said, "No, we can't do that. We'll do that later." But we knew it was the Lord, and Gene and I both knew it was the Lord. And so after 6.5 years, we left that little town of Rush Springs, Oklahoma. And I'll never forget that we had a going away party for us on a Saturday night. And then we were to preach our farewell message and say goodbye to everybody on Sunday morning. But that night, a major snowstorm came, and everybody was snowbound. And we had to leave without officially saying goodbye. That would made it even more grievous, but we knew we had to go. And we knew that we could have stayed another week or two, but we knew it was time to go. The people were waiting for us, so we took up our cross, and we left and went, moved to Oklahoma City, where we spent 8.5 years. And it was a strange environment. In Rust Springs, I knew we knew most everybody in town, all of the business people. I went around and tried to get acquainted with the business men and people, the business people in Dale City, and said that I was the pastor of the First Assembly of God Church in Dale City. And some of them looked at me warmly, greeted me, and others just kind of looked at me strangely, like, what are you doing? What are you saying? And but we knew that the Lord had led us there. And so a few years later, 8.5 years later, the Holy Spirit spoke to us that we were to move to Rockwall, Texas, and work with a longtime friend of mine, Larry Lee. And so we packed up our furniture, and we moved from Oklahoma City. We moved to Rockwall, Texas. We moved out of a nearly new home that we had bought and purchased just only a few years before, and we left our son Rick. There was many tears, and our daughter moved to Tulsa to attend ORU. Jean and I moved into a small condominium in just outside of Rockwall, Texas. Even though we were a part of a large major church, we were no longer the senior pastors. We felt all alone. And Gene and I, we would walk around. We lived by a little lake, and we would walk around that lake each day. And many times we wept, saying, God, what are we doing here? And one day we got a call inviting us back to come back and pastor the church in Dale City in Oklahoma City. In our hearts, we knew we wanted to do that. We wanted to go back, but Jesus had led us to Rockwall, Texas. He told us to take up your cross and follow me. And so we went there with a decline in our finances. It seemed like a decline in our effectiveness. And some days it appeared that we were all alone. And so, but we followed the Lord. We followed the Lord to Rockwall, Texas. We took up our cross, and we followed Him. And so, we have moved over the years from one place to another place, simply following the Lord, taking up our cross, and following Him. And from Rockwall, Texas, we followed the Lord to Sacramento, California, and from Sacramento back to Oklahoma City, and from Oklahoma City to Fort Worth, and from Fort Worth back to Rockwall, Texas, and from Rockwall, Texas, we took up our cross and moved to Roswell, New Mexico, and from Roswell, New Mexico, we moved to Argyle, Texas, and from Argyle, Texas, we moved to Austin, Texas. But During that time of following the Lord, we realized that not only were we going to live in a few places, but we would go to several places. And for the past 52 years, Gene and I have been building His kingdom by following the Lord to Fort Worth, Texas, Argyle, Texas, Sacramento, California, West Columbia, Texas, Sugar Land, Texas, Houston, Texas, Stillwater, Oklahoma, Alpine, Texas, San Antonio, Texas, Lubbock, Texas, Amarillo, Texas, Corpus Christi, Texas, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Liberal, Kansas, Omaha, Nebraska, Wichita, Kansas, Phoenix, Arizona, Grand Junction, Arizona, Mesa, Arizona, Tucson, Arizona, Denver, Colorado, Everett, Washington, Gig Harbor, Washington, Seattle, Washington, Anaheim, California, Citrus Heights, California, Diamond Bar, California, Los Angeles, California, Alexandria, Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Church Point, Louisiana, Forest Hill, Louisiana, on to Washington, Missouri, Iowa, Washington, D.C., Arkansas, Vermont, Kentucky, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Vermont, New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Tennessee, Wisconsin, Michigan, Iowa, Nevada, Illinois, Indiana, Georgia, Ohio, England, Germany, Jerusalem, Bahamas, Jamaica, Marshall Islands, Saskatoon, Canada, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Halifax, Canada, Scotland, Belgium, Romania, Congo, Africa, Burundi, Africa, Kenya, Africa, Haiti, Ireland, Russia, India, Spain, Belgium, France, Bangalore. We stood there at the just outside of the Notre Dame Cathedral that has been burning, and we've been to so many places, on to Monaco, Denmark, Spain, Austria. What have we been doing? We have been following the Lord, taking up our cross. Somebody said it must be like a vacation. You must understand that one of those years that we were doing long-term protracted revival meetings, Gina was only home six weeks out of the entire year. Why would she do that? We've lived in 9 new homes, moved out of those homes, said goodbye because Jesus said, hey, it's time to go and follow me. Follow me. And so if we are truly his disciples, we've got to realize that this world is not our home. This world is not our home. And there are some people that say, I've got to build me a home and live in this one home. Well, maybe the Lord will let you do that. Traveling from place to place and moving from home to home may not be your cross. It may be that you are suffering financial loss. Maybe that is the cross you're bearing. We all have a cross to bear. Maybe it's because of your health. Your health has been so bad, and you've been in so much pain, and you say, God, how can this be? There's so many things that we do not understand in life. Maybe there's a son or daughter that you don't know where he or she is at. And maybe they've been gone from home for a long time. Maybe they've turned against you. That's a cross that you're having to bear. Maybe there's been financial loss. Maybe you've seemingly lost everything financially. One time you lived in a big, beautiful home, and now you live in just maybe a small apartment or condo. I don't know. Maybe that's been a cross. Maybe you've had a cross to bear. You lost your business. Maybe that's the cross you've had to bear. I don't know what your cross is. Maybe your family has forsaken you. Maybe you have to live away from your family. Maybe that's a cross. And so we must understand that life is only temporary here. And so many people put so much stock in their stock. They put so much stock in their life here, their comforts in life here. But you must understand that there is a cross that we must bear. And the cross is that we are following Jesus. We do not know. We do not know where that will take us. We do not know what that will mean. We have friends, Tom and Mary Ann, Pastor Tom and Mary Ann Peters, who pastored a church in 40 years. We ministered there in that church over 30 years. And I'll never forget them telling the story of how their son and daughter-in-law, Jamie and Leah Peters, were called to the mission field. And they were called to Africa. And they accompanied them and their grandchildren to Africa, to a dark village at night where there's no street lights. And they left them there in the place we now know as the Congo. And they went to a hotel to fly out of Kenya. And they said that night, after they left their son and daughter, knowing they would live away from them thousands of miles from Florida to the deepest dark Congo of Africa, they would be away from their children and their grandson. So they left them there. They went to the hotel And they said they held each other and wept and cried bitterly, even though they knew that it was a cross that they had to bear. The release of their son and daughter-in-law and their little grandson. They would be away from them weeks, months at a time. And they had been a part of their church and their family since Jamie had been born. And now there was a cross. Jamie and Leah followed the Lord to Africa. And the cross that Tom and Mary Ann Peters, that they were bearing was their son and their daughter-in-law and their grandson going to Africa. A cross. We do not know in life. There are several times that Gene and I have left our kids, our grandkids, to move to another place. There are several times that Gene has moved out of a brand new home, moved our furniture so we could follow the Lord. And some places that were very fulfilling, and some other places that were very challenging. Some places where our very lives were threatened. Some places where there were things happening that we did not understand. And yet, we knew that we had to follow the Lord. We followed the Lord from Rush Springs, Oklahoma, to Dale City, Oklahoma City. We followed the Lord, and there we started. We built a new church auditorium, and there we started a Christian school where thousands, the last 31 years, thousands of students have attended Destiny Christian School. Used to be Middale Christian School. We started there with only one student, our daughter, and the first year we had about 82 students. But if we had not been willing to take up our cross and follow Him, there would be no Christian school today. If we had not been willing to take up our cross and follow Him, there would be thousands of people that would not have heard the message, and there would have been people, young men and young women, that would not be in the ministry today. If we had not taken up the cross and started a radio church where people did not understand what we were doing. And I'll talk about that more next Sunday. We had to take up the cross. We do not travel from place to place. We take up our cross and we follow Him. Only one life. I'm writing a book entitled, Only One Life, It Will Soon Be Past. Only what's done for Christ will last. There's so many, many people today that are putting so much stock in this world. I remember a song that my daddy sang many times, and the people in the little church in Comanche, Oklahoma sang. And it was entitled, This World Is Not My Home. I'm Just Passing Through. You got to realize the brevity of life. James said life is like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Jesus knew the brevity of life on this earth. That's why He was willing to say, not my will, but thy will be done. I will go to that cross. They put the cross on His back. He had to carry His own cross to the top of Golgotha. I've been to Mount Calvary, and it's not a very easy hill to climb. Could imagine the suffering. But He was willing to do it. He was willing to carry the cross, and that's what His disciples did. He said to His disciples, you are not to build an earthly kingdom. You're not to build your own kingdom. And I believe today that God is saying to each of us, we're not to build our own kingdom. That does not mean we're not to build our business stronger and bigger and larger, or our church, or our ministry. But if we focus on just this, our kingdom here, we are making a terrible mistake. We must realize that we're building His kingdom, and everything we do must be for His kingdom. And I'm going to have the Gaither family to come and sing a little bit of this song that my dad sang when I was a little boy. I still remember it, and it's a message to each of us. And I want us to listen to this as I conclude my sermon today.
Treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue.
Hallelujah. Well, I just can't feel at home in this world anymore. So I know that living our life, we only have one shot at it, only one life. It will soon be passed. So I'm going to pray for those of you today concerning your cross, whatever it may be, whatever your cross may be, I'm going to pray for you today. And it may be that you have wrestled with what is happening in your life. Maybe you compare yourself with others. Maybe things have not worked out in your life exactly as you thought it was going to be. Maybe the plans and the dreams that you had seemingly have died. If they have, God's able to resurrect a better plan, a bigger plan. But the ultimate goal in life is just to do the will of God. All of us are not called to do the same thing. We're not called to follow Jesus to the same place. You may have lived in one place all of your life, and you say, well, maybe I haven't followed the Lord. But during that course of your life, there's been a cross that you've had to bear. You followed him, maybe to different businesses or different jobs or through different challenges in health or maybe your degree or whatever it may be. We all are following the Lord, and sometimes we follow him to the mountaintop, and we rejoice, and we celebrate giant killing days, and there's been no day like today, we say. Then we follow him sometimes through valleys, difficult times. We say to ourselves, Lord, I never knew it could be this difficult. Will this last forever? And of course, his response is, no, it's not going to last forever. One day it's all going to be over. And what is the ultimate thing that he's going to say? He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Going to make you rule over many things. You realize that we're going to heaven, but we're going to come back to this earth. And what are we going to do? We're going to rule and reign with him on this earth. So let's not be weary, church. Let's not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, whatever that is, we're going to reap. If we don't faint, we're going to reap. And so today I want to encourage you. You know, the Bible said that an angel came while Jesus was agonizing over his decision about following the Lord. And strengthen him. And some of you are agonizing today about decisions to follow him. You're agonizing over decisions to make certain transitions or certain changes or make certain commitments. You're agonizing, and I pray for you right now. I'm asking the Holy Ghost to come and strengthen you right now in Jesus' name. Brito maro bete sebeti. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to strengthen you and saying, can I really do this? Can I really go there? Can I really? Some of your crosses may be staying. You may say, I want to go, but your cross is staying. There's been times that Gene and I wanted to go. We wanted to leave. And the cross was not going, but the cross was staying, knowing we had to stay a while longer. That became a cross. I don't know what your cross is. I don't know what you're agonizing over this morning, but I pray for you and I ask the Holy Ghost to strengthen you and to minister to you, to encourage you that you're going to do the will of God, whether it's just to go or to stay or whatever it may be. I've decided to follow Jesus because I know that I want to fulfill my destiny on this earth, to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to have the testimony. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. I pray for you now in Jesus' name. And before we leave church today, I want to give you an opportunity to give your tithes and offerings. Gene and I, of course, we're not traveling out like we used to over 30 years, but we're here leading this church and helping with Breakout Prayer Network and bpnradio.com. But our thrust is Breakout Radio Church. We want to be a blessing. We want to serve the body of Christ, a church without walls that reaches across America and around the world. and you have an opportunity to give today. We depend upon your faithfulness for your tithes and offerings. Gene and I have been faithful over the last 50-some-odd years to give our tithes and offerings, the first 10%. I encourage you to be faithful today. If this is your church, Breakout Radio Church is your church, and we are a church. We are a nonprofit church. We're a tax-deductible church. You can make your check to Breakout Ministries. Breakout Ministries. The Holy Spirit gave me this scripture in Micah 2:13. In 1997, the one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. So this is a Breakout Radio Church. We're breaking out to the north, south, east, and west. Make your check payable to Breakout Ministries, and you can mail that check to P.O. Box 91985. Gene goes to the post office several times a week, waiting for your check to come, so that we can meet our obligations, our commitment, our monthly budget. You can send it to P.O. Box 91985, Austin, Texas, 78709. Austin, Texas, 78709. Later today, we'll check our PayPal account, because you can also give by using your credit card, PayPal, debit card. And all you have to do is go to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com, and click on the donate button in the upper right-hand corner. Click on the donate button. You can use your PayPal, credit card, debit card. It will say PayPal, but you can use your debit card, credit card. Later today, we'll check. We'll rejoice over the people that gave through PayPal today. In Jesus' name. Father, bless those that are giving their tithes and contributions today. Bless them abundantly, bountifully. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bless you as you write your check, or you go to bpnradio.com and click on the donate button. Well, Gene, it's been a wonderful day. Been a wonderful day to be in church. How many times have you sat and listened to me preach the gospel?
Thousands and thousands, I think.
Approximately 15,000 times. You're a wonderful person. You're a wonderful lady. What an honor it is to be able to reach out and to minister to people all across America and around the world. It's going to be a wonderful day.
Yes, we're so thankful for all of you. Thank you for your faithfulness. And we just pray that you have a blessed day, whatever you're doing today with family, know that we love you.
Yes, we do. Have a wonderful day, wonderful week. Let us know if we can help you, if we can be a blessing. Thank you for coming to Breakout Radio Church today. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.